Welcome to the latest episode of the Fighting Words podcast, which focuses on the StorySeeds cross-border project. I'm JJ Harrington, and I've been involved with Fighting Words as a writing mentor and facilitator since 2011. I'm delighted to bring you this episode of the podcast as it features stories, plays, and screenplays written by young writers who took part in the StorySeeds cross-border project. This episode is a joint project of Fighting Words and Fighting Words Northern Ireland and is funded by Creative Ireland and the Department of Tourism, Culture, Arts, Gaeltacht, Sports and Media. What is StorySeeds? The StorySeeds project aims to promote a positive sense of self and community through creative expression. The project ran from September 2023 to February 2024. During that time, Fighting Words and Fighting Words Northern Ireland worked with thousands of children and young people, and they all have stories to tell. The project facilitators and volunteer mentors brought together schools from the counties Louth, Monaghan, Donegal, Armagh, Down, Derry, Antrim and Belfast to create new stories, plays, radio plays and screenplays about where the young writers live and what each of their communities means to them. The project culminated in the creation of many new, brilliant stories. We have had tremendous feedback. Both students and teachers have found the workshop sessions to be engaging and enormously enjoyable. We are very grateful to all of the mentors and facilitators, and of course, to the writers, who shared their creativity with us at each session. We think you will agree that each story is full of action and fun, and stars a huge range of inventive characters. The Cactus and the Kraken, a short story written by the Donegal Pass Community Centre.
Once upon a time, there was a unicorn named Rosie who lived in Fairyland. Rosie was pink with a multicoloured horn and rainbow wings. She was 3 years old. Rosie lived in a beautiful castle near the River Lagan. Every morning, she woke up and made herself pancakes in the shape of unicorns. She liked them with Nutella, peanuts, cashew nuts and unicorn cream. One day, Rosie and her family were going on a trip on the HMS Botanic. They were sailing to Port Rush Beach. On the way there, the sunny sky turned dark. Rosie heard thunder and saw a flash of lightning. The water began to bubble. Kusanaka, the legendary sea monster, floated up from the depths. Kusanaka slashed the ship with its tentacles. Slowly, the HMS Botanic started to sink. In 5 minutes, it landed on its belly at the bottom of the sea. Rosie was the only one of her family with wings. She knew that Kusanaka was afraid of sharp things, so she flew back to Fairyland to get cacti. Rosie used her elemental powers to lift the cacti from the desert and bring them back to the sea. The cacti flew towards Kusanaka, who waved its tentacles in the air.
The Chocolate Quest, a radio play written by 7 to 10-year-olds at On Green On Theatre, Letterkenny.
Characters: Kate McGregor, 11, John McBrearty, 11, Kiki Love, Timothy Beanbean. Scene 1. Kate and John meet in Bake the Cake coffee shop for the first time. It is National Cake Day on the 6th of February.
Hi, my name's Kate. What are you doing for National Cake Day?
My name is John. I'm baking a chocolate cake because I love chocolate.
It's very good that you bake. What kind of cake do you like?
I already said I like chocolate, so wouldn't it make sense that it's chocolate cake?
If you speak like that again, I'll shove a chocolate cake in your face.
Pause. Kate and John laugh together. Kiki Love, the cashier.
Are you guys ordering cake or not?
Scene 2. Kate and John have struck up a bit of a friendship. They sit beside each other in the coffee shop.
So how old are you?
I'm 11. How about you?
I'm 11 too. Apart from cake, what else do you like? What's your favourite animal?
I love seals and cats and bunnies and doggies and carrots. No, I mean parrots.
They both laugh.
That's a wild lot of animals. I only like sharks.
Screams really loudly. Kiki Love.
Quiet down, bro. What the heck? What's all the noise about?
It's this guy. His favourite animal is a shark.
What do you like about sharks?
I like them because they eat people.
That's so dark.
What are you guys doing for the rest of National Cake Day?
We're going to Letterkenny Town Park.
Maybe to get milkshakes?
I need to get my ingredients before we go.
What can I get you?
box of eggs, sugar, flour, milk, butter, and lastly, chocolate.
I'm afraid we're out of chocolate, dude. Since it's National Cake Day, we sold out this morning.
That's so not rad.
There's a chocolate shop on the main street. Maybe we can get some there.
John and Kate leave the coffee shop together. Scene 3. John and Kate go to the local chocolate shop called Choco Drop.
Excuse me, do you have any chocolate? We went to bake the cake, but they didn't have any.
Timothy Bean Bean.
Oh yes, we do have chocolate. A whole bunch of different chocolate to choose from. Milk chocolate, dark chocolate, white chocolate, Willy Wonka chocolate and special chocolate. That has a secret ingredient.
That's so cool. Can you tell us what it is?
No, it's a secret.
John.
Can I have 5 bars of the special chocolate, so?
Timothy goes out to the back to a secret cupboard that is protected by lasers.
Here you go. That'll be €10, reduced from 15 because it's National Cake Day.
Kate and John leave Choco Drop. Scene 4. They are in John's kitchen.
Come here. That cake mixture is doing some strange bubbling in your oven.
Are you sure we should eat it when it's ready?
You paid €10 for it. We have to eat it.
They take the cake out of the oven and each eat a slice.
I feel strange. What's going on? Everything is beginning to feel lighter.
Jeannie Mac, I'm beginning to rise.
Was it the chocolate, do you think?
Yes. Oh my God, I'm flying.
I don't know whether to be scared or excited.
Yay! I can finally fly like a carrot. No, I mean a parrot.
Abandoned. A short story written by participants at the Woodlands Juvenile Detention Centre, Bangor, County Down.
One sunny evening in Dubai, a plane flew over the desert. The townsfolk looked up and saw a mysterious figure falling through the sky. They were shocked that something so obscure could happen in their quiet little village. The mysterious figure was named David. He was 8 feet tall, with short black hair and a battle scar on the left side of his face. Every time he touched the scar, he saw visions of what had happened to him in the past. David hit the ground at an alarming rate. The golden sun was scorching hot. The force of the fall knocked him out. When he woke up a few hours later, the sky was dark and full of stars. He put his hand to his head and felt a bump. I need to get this treated, he thought to himself. Slowly standing up and looking around nervously, he went north looking for food. He'd been walking for a few miles when he found a bush covered in blackberries. He was ravenous and stuffed a handful in his gob. He started to feel weird. His vision went blurry. His hands and feet tingled. He closed his eyes and saw a vision of himself back in East Belfast with his uncle.
Bell's Island. A radio play written by 5th-year students at Abbey Vocational School, Donegal Town.
Characters. Matilda, 34, works in the Blueberry Cafe in the Diamond in Donegal Town. She craves financial freedom. Michael, 30, from America, is visiting on a quest to find treasure buried by his ancestors and to resolve a personal trauma. Scene 1. The Blueberry Cafe, Donegal Town. Matilda.
Hey, how are you? What can I get you?
This place is so cute. Any recommendations?
Everyone raves about the pasta special.
Oh my God, sure, I'll take that.
Matilda goes to the kitchen and returns with the order.
I've seen some posters around town with Donegal 550 on them. What's the deal with that?
I'm not sure if you have seen the castle on the way in. It was built 550 years ago by a man called Red Hugh O'Donnell. There's a statue of him at the pier. I'll show you after work if you like. I'm almost finished.
Awesome.
Scene 2. Michael and Matilda are over at Donegal Pier. They have Red Hugh's statue.
Those ruins on the hill are beautiful.
That's an old graveyard. It was built in 1474 by the same person who founded the castle.
Back home, we don't really have this kind of scenery. It's like there's a filter on it. It's so vibrant. The reason I came here isn't your usual tourist story, you know?
What are you on about?
My ancestors moved to America from Mount Charles during the famine. there's a myth that there's a hidden treasure box in a place called Bell's Island somewhere off the coast of Donegal Bay.
You're having me on.
What does that mean?
You're taking the mick out of me.
That's just what I've heard.
They start walking towards the old graveyard.
We used to come down here during the summer and skim rocks. My father used to take me here every Sunday after Mass before he died.
Is he buried here?
He's buried in the new graveyard. We can head in that direction.
As they walk, Michael spots a really old gravestone with the name Gallagher on it.
Oh my God, Gallagher is my family name.
Say that again.
Gallagher?
That's nearly everyone's family name around here.
Michael clears briars from around the base of the grave to reveal more of the inscription.
John Joe Gallagher. I heard stories about him growing up. I was told he lived on Bell's Island. His son was a gangster who had to flee to the States. John Joe disowned him, and in order to protect the family's legacy, it's alleged that he'd buried some treasure somewhere on the island.
What kind of treasure are you on about?
Truth.
Scene 3. Matilda has brought Michael to the local water bus.
Isn't it so cute that you Irish folk travel on water?
Yeah, and we drink with leprechauns as well.
Really?
Sighs.
This is your lucky day. This boat goes right by the island you're talking about.
That's rad.
They board the water bus and Matilda approaches the driver.
Yes, Eamon, what's the crack? How's wee Raymond? I have a favour to ask. You'd hardly drop me and the Ankh off at the island.
Eamon.
You sure you want to go there? You're brave.
There might be something in it for you.
Matilda and Michael disembark and head straight for the only ruin standing on the island. Matilda spots an emblem on the base of a cornerstone of a Celtic spiral. She reaches up and touches a necklace around her neck with the same spiral.
I have my own family legend. Before my dad passed away, he gave me this necklace. It has the same spiral as this cornerstone.
Matilda shows the necklace to Michael.
No way! Oh my God, look at my tattoo! It's the same image. I've always been drawn to this and I've never known why.
Scene 4. Michael and Matilda inspect the rune further.
I'll be damned.
What?
Look at these initials. JJG on the fireplace.
They stare at the initials on the intact fireplace.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph, this must be the place.
Here, help me move this.
Matilda and Michael heave a large slab.
What is that?
It looks like Donegal tweed.
Can you pull it out?
They remove the cloth from the fireplace and carefully open it.
What the heck is this?
It looks like an ancient torque. They used to be worn by Celtic chieftains over 500 years ago. This is amazing.
This must be it. John Joe's myth is true. That means I am related to chieftains.
Pause.
You have no idea what this means. I have carried so much weight all my life. I always believed I came from a criminal family when all along they were Donegal royalty.
Wait, criminals?
Well, the story goes that John Joe Gallagher's son stole land, gave it to the British in exchange for wealth and forced local families into poverty for generations.
Gasps.
That is my family story. We were kicked off our land generations ago and have been trying to work our way out of poverty ever since. I can't believe this.
Pause.
Then this is rightfully yours.
Matilda studies the torque.
Oh, Michael, look. It's got a Celtic spiral.
Michael and Matilda walk to the shoreline. They stand side by side and skim stones. The end.
The Prisoner. A play written by participants at the Woodlands Juvenile Detention Centre, Bangor, County Down.
Scene 1. Prison courtyard, 9 a.m. in the morning. All prisoners from S1 are out for morning exercise. Some are doing laps, some are playing basketball, some are doing weights, others are sitting on benches smoking. Leo is walking laps with one of his buddies. There is background noise and loud voices. A whistle blows.
Time's up, lads! Take a break! 15 minutes!
Leo and his buddy head over to the benches.
Do you have anything for the head and I'll pay you back when my tuck comes in on Tuesday?
No problem, buddy.
Alarm goes off.
Everyone down!
A fight has broken out in the basketball court. Buddy, taking advantage of the chaos, passes a small package to a guard. Inside the prison, the governor, Sandra Monroe McDade, is looking out of the office window. She sees the guard take the package. She thinks it was her brother Leo who passed it to him. Scene 2. Sandra's office, 30 minutes later. There's a coffee machine in the corner with a set of matching blue espresso cups. Sandra stands behind a marble desk. The desk is clean and tidy. There is a big, well-used and expensive shredder in the corner. With her are two senior managers, Bob and Josh. They are talking about the fight that broke out on the basketball court.
Gov, are you listening?
Oh yes, sorry. I was just thinking about what happened in the courtyard.
The coffee machine beeps. Sandra and Bob look over to see Josh making coffee. Josh tries to keep a straight face.
Boy, what happened in the courtyard?
I think the prisoner who passed the parcel to the guard might have been my brother.
You can't be serious.
Josh slurps his coffee in the background.
That must be your old age kicking in.
You cheeky old git.
Scene 3. Leo and Buddy's cell. There are bunk beds, a table with a packet of tobacco, a stack of CDs, TV and CD player. The works. Leo is sitting on the bottom bunk. Buddy is lying on the top bunk.
Leute! Everybody, door's locked!
A letter slides in under the door. Leo gets up to see what it is.
A letter.
He opens the letter and reads it.
I saw what you passed that screw. Just a heads up. Your cell is getting searched tomorrow. Oh, God, you can't be serious.
He rips up the letter and puts it in the bin. He takes the parcel and puts it in the pocket of Buddy's hoodie. Buddy snores and turns over in his sleep. Scene 4. Leo's cell, 8:30 a.m. in the morning. Leo is awake and waiting for the guards. He hears the march of their footsteps as they walk down the landing. Buddy is still asleep.
Everybody up!
Buddy sits up, confused. He sees Leo sitting calmly on his bed.
Oh, what's going on?
Leo says nothing. Buddy gets out of bed and grabs his hoodie. Before he has time to put his shoes on, Bob grabs him and pushes him against the wall.
Empty out your pockets.
What's going on? Why are you doing this?
What's this we have here?
The governor walks in. Leo looks up and sees his sister.
Hello, Leo. Long time no see.
Dundalk to Drogheda. Fun times in Fantasia. A play written by Able Vision Drogheda and St. John of God's Dundalk.
The Birdhouse Cafe Dundalk. A busy cafe, two girls, Dolly Queen and Bonnie, are having lunch. Dolly has pink hair, a glittery pink cowboy hat, and is eating chips. Bonnie is wearing a flowery dress. She's eating a bun and drinking tea.
Bonnie.
Thank goodness it's Friday. What do you want to do this evening? I would love to go out on the town.
Dolly.
I love to go singing. I love karaoke.
Oh, I know you do. And so do I.
She starts humming Jolene by Dolly Parton and Dolly instantly joins in.
Dolly.
I want to sing Jolene and 9 to 5 in the Dundalk Town Hall.
We can't go back there. We got thrown out last time.
Yeah, we got barred last time. People don't appreciate good music these days.
Why don't we try Drogheda? Let's go to Fantasia. We've never been there. I bet you can sing karaoke there.
That's a brilliant idea.
And I have a nice new dress to wear.
They high five. Scene 2, Scotch Hall Shopping Centre, Drogheda. Two sisters, Rachel and Jodine O'Neill, are in a close-up looking at clothes and shoes. Jodie picks up a pair of fluffy shoes and tries them on.
Jodie.
Look what I found. Aren't they gorgeous? They're soft and fluffy.
Rachel.
I don't like them. You can't wear them to Fantasia.
Aw.
She puts them down. Rachel holds up a top on a hanger.
What do you think? I could wear it tonight to Fantasia.
You have great taste.
They look up and see their friend Joey, who just came into the shop.
Look, it's Joey. Joey, over here.
She waves at him and he waves back and comes over.
Hey, Joey. Do you want to come out to Fantasia with us tonight?
He nods.
Might want to buy a new shirt.
Joey shrugs.
Come on, we'll help you. Let's keep shopping.
Joey nods and they all start looking at clothes. Scene 3, Dundalk Garda Station. Garda Detective Lansbury is standing behind a counter in the entrance. She looks bored and tapping her pen on the desk. Two other Gardaí come in, Detective Sammy, the man, Cowell, and Detective Jones. They check their watches and look tired.
Detective Lansbury.
Another Friday, lads.
Detective Sammy.
It's been a long week. The day flew in, but it's hard and tiring.
Detective Jones.
I'm so tired.
At least it's Friday. Any plans?
Watching Formula One and the Dundalk FC match. Might go to Charns in Bettystown. They've great curry.
Might play bocce in Oil Park Stadium. How about you?
I want to go bowling. Do you want to come?
Yes, but there's nowhere to go bowling in Dundalk. We could go to Newry to the Sheepridge.
How about Drogheda? We can go to Fantasia. Do you bowling?
Sure.
Sounds great.
There's a bus in there. We better go and get changed.
They all rush out. Scene 4, Stockwell Cafe Drogheda. Billy and Theo are sitting in a cafe. They're having coffee, tea and pie sandwiches. Billy's hair is sticking up like a duck. Theo is eating very fast and belches loudly.
Billy.
Have some manners.
Theo.
It wasn't me, it was the food. I ate it too fast. He eats again and belches again.
Oi, stop belching.
If you don't like it, I'll go.
Look, what do you want to do tonight?
I want to go to the cinema to see a film.
Which cinema? The Ark or the Amiplex?
The Ark.
Ah, what film?
Toy Story 2. Billy looks through a programme for the cinema on his phone. The film's not until later. We can go and play pool first.
I want to go to Fantasia. I like pool.
I won last time.
Well, maybe it's my turn.
Scene 5, bus stop Dundalk. At bus stop in Dundalk, Dolly and Bonnie and the three guards are standing at it. The guards are now wearing their Friday night party outfit and stylish hats. Detective Sammy has a guitar with him. Dolly is wearing her pink cowboy hat and Bonnie is wearing a lovely colourful dress. It starts raining, then lashing. Everybody shivers and rolls their hands and arms to keep warm.
Detective Jones.
I know, it's lashing rain.
Dolly.
I'm drowning.
Detective Lansbury.
Come on into the bus shelter. It's dry here. Come on in.
Where's the bus?
It's late.
Don't be worrying. Look, there it is.
The sound of a bus engine roaring. A bus speeds down the road and it brakes makes that screech sound as it stops. It splashes water on everyone at the bus stop as it stops and they all shout at it. The bus door opens. Inside the bus driver looks grumpy. He gestures at everyone to get on board.
Detective Jones.
Me first. He pushes his way onto the bus, passing everyone else. I'm a guard, do I have to pay?
Bus driver.
Get off the bus!
Okay, I'll pay. He pays and sits down. The others get on behind him and all pay the driver. Scene 6, on the bus, Dundalk to Drogheda. Everybody is sitting on the bus. A ticket collector moves around and checks everybody's tickets. The bus driver slams his foot on the accelerator and the bus leaps forward. Everybody on the bus is thrown back and forward, making woohoo sounds as the bus driver drives way too fast down the motorway. The ticket collector nearly falls over.
Oh, I'm falling. Why is he driving?
Detective Sammy.
To Detective Lansbury.
Have you been to Fantasia before?
No, but I hear it's great.
Do you think they let me play my guitar there?
It's not allowed. Even if they let you, I don't think you should. They'll throw us out. Detective Sammy looks disappointed.
Maybe they'll let you. I like your music.
As the ticket collector makes his way down the bus, Detective Sammy slowly takes out his guitar and plays the first few notes of the wheels on the bus go round and round. He starts singing and quickly everybody joins in. It gets rowdy.
The wheel on the bus go round and round. Holyland.
Ticket collector.
What is this? Stop sinning.
Nobody stops.
I said stop sinning. I will kick you off the bus.
Reluctantly, everybody stops singing and the ticket clerk keeps checking tickets. Dolly leans over and taps Detective Sammy on the shoulder.
Hey, mister. Do you know Jolene?
I sure do.
He starts playing Dolly Parton's Jolene and Dolly starts blurting out, soon, so is everybody else, except the ticket collector and the bus driver.
Ticket collector.
What did I just tell you? Stop singing. It's too loud.
But this time they don't stop.
Bus driver.
Right, that's it.
He slams on the brakes and the bus screech to a halt and everyone yells as they are thrown back and forth. The bus driver stands up.
Don't go to Georgia, do you? Well, you have to drive yourselves.
He takes off his hat and throws it at the passengers. He stamps up the bus, muttering. The passengers look at one another in panic.
Now what will we do?
I want to sing karaoke.
I want to play pool.
Or go bowling.
Detective Jones rises. He strides to the front of the bus and turns to the passengers a bit like a superhero. I drive the bus.
Detective Lansbury.
Not you.
Why not?
You've been drinking.
She drags Detective Jones back to his seat where he sits. Everybody boos him.
There's no one to drive the bus.
I am not missing karaoke.
The ticket collector steps forward.
I am the only one that drives the bus.
Detective Sammy.
If you drive us, you can come to Fantasia with us.
I go on. Have some fun.
Wouldn't you like to play pool?
No.
Or sing karaoke?
No, it's too loud.
Detective Sammy.
Or go bowling.
Ticket collector.
Well, I'm finishing the hour. I do like bowling. Okay, I'll drive.
Everybody cheers. The ticket collector sits, grabs the wheel and stamps down the accelerator. Everybody whoops and hollers as the bus lurches forward. Scene 7, Fantasia Theme Park, Drogheda. In Fantasia Theme Park, the lights are bright and different colours. Loud music plays the sound of kids laughing and yelling. The O'Neill sisters, Rachel and Jody, are dancing with the friends Joey under the light of a disco ball. They're all wearing new party clothes. The film buffs Theo and Billy are in the background playing pool.
Theo.
This is a good way to pass time before the cinema.
Billy.
Sure is.
The Dundalk guards, the ticket collector, Dolly and Bonnie all come in crying, oh and ah, as they look around. Dolly grabs Billy and points.
Wow, look at all the lights.
Bonnie.
Look, a karaoke machine.
Finally, we can sing.
The girls run off.
Detective Lansbury.
There's the bowling. Come on.
They move to the bowling section.
Detective Jones.
Look, there's a pool table. Come on. Jones and Detective Sammy go over to the pool table and pick up pool cues.
Detective Jones.
I don't know how to play pool.
Detective Sammy.
I'll show you. It's easy. Look.
He demonstrates. Detective Jones looks uncertain. I'm not sure if this is a good idea.
Go on, you try.
Detective Sammy tries. He hits a ball with a pool cue and gets very excited. I'm getting the hang of this. He hits a ball too hard and it bounces off the table and hits Detective Sammy.
Ouch! What did you do that for?
This is a great game. Detective Lansbury, Billy, Theo, and the ticket collector are now bowling side by side.
Ticket collector.
I'm a pro bowler. You better watch out.
You're so good at bowling.
Theo.
How long have you been bowling?
A long time. I always like swimming on the beach.
You can't bowl on the beach. And I bet you're not as good as me.
But Detective Lansbury throws her ball and it knocks down all the skittles.
Strike.
Good game.
Dolly and Bonnie make a beeline to the back of the room where a karaoke machine and large TV screen stand like the altar in a church. Dolly sees a microphone, grabs it and hands one to Bonnie and takes the other one herself.
Are you ready?
I was born ready.
Turn off the volume.
Bonnie presses some buttons. The music for Dolly Parton's Jolene comes howling out of the speakers. Dolly and Bonnie are singing along as loud as they can as the lyrics appear on the screen. In the background, the O'Neill sisters and Joey join in the singing and keep dancing. But as singing gets louder at the pool table, Detective Jones accidentally whacks Detective Sammy in the stomach with his pool cue.
Ouch! You got me again!
At the bowling alley, the ticket collector, Billy and Theo cover their ears with their hands.
She's very noisy.
Theo.
Time for the cinema.
Yes, let's go.
They leave quickly.
Detective Jones.
Why are you singing like that? My ears.
Dolly.
I have a lovely voice.
Ticket collector.
Stop singing. I have nothing for one day. I just want to relax.
We're not going to stop. You can't make a stop.
We've been looking forward to this.
They keep singing.
Stop singing. Oh, I called the guards.
Fine, call the guards.
The street guards look at one another, take off their fun hats and put their guard hats on.
We are the guards.
Dolly, Bonnie and everybody else look stunned. The girls stop singing.
We're really looking forward to this.
This is all I want to do, to sing.
We can't sing in the dark. We got thrown out of the town hall last time.
The guys look at each other and shake their heads.
Oh, don't be sad. I like singing too. Look what I have.
He pulls out his guitar, the other guardie groan.
Detective Jones.
Ah, here, you don't start again. But it's too late. The music starts again and Bonnie hands another microphone to Detective Sammy and Detective Lansbury, who joins in with the girls singing along. The O'Neill sisters and Joey also join in with what is now a full-on Dolly Parton medley. Detective Jones nudges the ticket collector and minds drinking a pint. The ticket collector nods and together they wander off, sticking their fingers in the ears.
Bonnie.
This is the best night ever.
The end.
Kick the Can, a play written by the Prospect and Evolve groups at the National Learning Network, Letterkenny.
Scene 1. Setting. A bench outside on Greenon Theatre, Letterkenny. Johnny.
What's the crack?
Samantha.
I'm okay.
Are you from this part of town?
No. Do you know anywhere that's good to eat?
There's Mr. Chippy. It has good food and great tea.
I've never been.
Come on, I'll bring you to Mr. Chippy.
They start to walk down the port road towards Mr. Chippy.
But I don't have much money.
Consider it my treat.
Now in the chipper, Johnny goes to the counter, collects the tea and brings it to the table.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you're a city man.
I was born in Derry. I'm not from here. I'm getting to know the place.
What brings you here?
I like the county.
You look sad, though.
My dog died. His name was Django.
Ah, grief brought you here.
Yes. Do you know about grief?
I'd be lying if I said no. I worked in search and rescue. I had a golden retriever at my side for years. His name is Jackson. I've had to put my dogs down.
I'm sorry for your loss.
The song Goodbye from The Sound of Music starts to play. Scene 2. Setting, Bernard McGlinchey Park. The sound of birds. A gentle breeze is blowing. Other people walking.
How is it that you have such an upbeat outlook on life considering your age and occupation?
I suppose it was passed down from my grandfather. He used to say that even when you grow up so little, you just had about everything.
Pause.
But I don't have my dog.
But you have the memories. I'm starting to think you're a very difficult woman.
Well, excuse me. You have some nerve, Johnny.
They both laugh.
So, how is your grandfather? Is he still alive?
Grandfather Martin's. He is alive, but...
Silence.
But?
He's about to kick the can.
Is there anything I can do to help?
Maybe there is.
Johnny thinks for a moment.
My grandfather will be entrusting me as the sole beneficiary of his estate. I want to set up a foundation in his memory.
What kind of foundation?
How would you like to work with dogs?
Scene 3. 1 year later. Samantha is in the sanctuary, Martin Mutz in Rathmullen. She's busy grooming a Jack Russell, Bobby. Johnny has just returned from surfing at the beach. He's come to give Samantha her paycheck.
Well, Samantha, how goes our lovable Mutz today?
He was a bit of a Hanlon with the nails, but he enjoyed the bath.
You're picking up my lingo there, Samantha.
Well, all you do is chat about, don't you, Johnny?
Have a wee look-see at these logos that I've designed on the crayon for our business.
He turns the laptop to her and Samantha takes a look. She's surprised at the work that's gone into the designs.
Wow, I'm actually quite impressed. To think that it's a year on and we've our own business.
To think that a year ago you were flat broke and out to buy your tea in Mr. Chippy. Look how far you've come.
Django's vet bills weren't too cheap that time.
Bobby gives a few wee yaps.
Looks like your friend is wanting attention.
Speaking of a friend, do you want to get a dog together?
Are you sure you're ready?
I think I've had enough time.
Scene 4. Johnny and Samantha are sitting on the couch together. Bobby, the Jack Russell, is sat in the middle.
We're now a family with our dog and ourselves, Samantha. Fancy a couple, love?
Final music.
We would like to give a very special thanks to our readers who read the stories that you have just heard. Beth, Aoife, Holly, Jack, Hannah, Callum, Emma, Molly, Matthew, Michael, Connor, Stephanie and Emily. Thank you so much for listening to the Fighting Words podcast, Story Seeds Edition. We would like to thank all of the fantastic young authors who created all the new stories, our amazing team of facilitators, mentors and illustrators, the staff of the schools and youth services and community groups that we worked with, and to you for listening. Visit www.fightingwords.ie for more stories and to find out more about becoming a Fighting Words volunteer mentor. You too can help children and young people to tell their stories at locations all over the island of Ireland. Thank you as well to our friends at the podcast studios here in beautiful Dublin city centre. Until next time, goodbye.